Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to see all of you familiar and wonderful faces. I bring greetings because I think that's what I'm supposed to do in this new job of mine, but I've never really understood what it's meant. I think it means that I say hello from other people in the association that don't know that they're saying hello to you, but I bring greetings anyway. Just because that's the way these things go. I wonder when the last time you had a good whelming was. I mean, I've been overwhelmed several times already this morning by just seeing your faces, but anybody had a good whelming recently? Good whelming? Susan's had a good whelming. Looks like Ruth's had a good whelming. Has anybody else had a good whelming? I mean, some people have a good whelm every day. Not everybody, I can smell that of you, but does anybody else had a good whelming recently? Does anybody know what the word whelm means? It's from the Old English, to be submerged, usually of a sea vessel, but very closely related to actually what we're going to do in a bit. A good whelming. I need to confess that in my prayer and preparation for this morning, that it began with a kind of a picture, sort of a disturbing one, but then that's kind of who I am. It was this image that sat in my head of somebody struggling amongst the water, probably in the context of just being out of depth and overcome, which is a lovely word for you two this morning, isn't it? And I want to bring you an absolute assurance yet again, Pip and Becky, that you are going under. You can struggle. I've warned you of this already. You can struggle as much as you blooming like, but you are getting wet all the heck over. The other question was whether it was just something for me. I've got to dash relatively quickly after the service, for which I apologise. I'll also apologise for the fancy dress that I need to put on after the service. But this afternoon I've got to go and attend the installation, which is a strange word in itself, of the new Bishop of Peterborough. I mean, that is the kind of world that I'm now in, is that I just casually on a Sunday afternoon I have to go and do these things. So maybe, I mean, if you want a picture of somebody struggling under the water, put me in the context of all that formality, and I've got to process in. I've got no idea what I'm doing, Jenny. Good Lord. Anyway. But where I landed in thinking about this picture that was in my mind is this firm assurance that God would speak over us, that God is in control. Yeah. Let that be an amen this morning. And that wherever we sense chaos or trouble amongst and around us, that we need to strive to relax somehow, to let go somehow into God's presence, that we allow that strength and will and purpose of God to take over. Perhaps to stop the struggle a little bit. And actually the word probably is to be overwhelmed, but only by God, not by the things of this earth, that we would be overwhelmed, that we would actually allow our trouble and such to be overwhelmed and to accept, to strive into the peace that only our God could bring. The context of our verses is appropriate in that they're written to a people that are particularly overwhelmed, in that they are towards an exiled people, people taken out of their own land and out of their own comfort, transplanted amongst the cities of the latest superpower that it was at the time in Babylon. The fact that they've been dispersed is a comment upon their state as a people, in that we're told directly that the fact that they've been dispersed and have become effectively slaves, if not literally, then at least towards the culture, is as a consequence of judgment upon them, something which we perhaps find uncomfortable. That in this case, that there is a direct correlation between the bad choices that the nation of Israel has made, which has naturally flowed down into the masses to the point where there has been what we would describe as a collective abandonment of God. That these are people struggling to see God in the normality of their lives. The verses before, the ones that we heard read, remind us of that in a hard metaphor that accuses these people, this nation, of being collectively blind and deaf towards their Saviour, towards God at work amongst them. And so God's judgment says, as it often does actually, if that's the choice that you're going to make, if you cannot see me amongst the normal, then, well, I'll leave you to that. And so God's people are abandoned to that. You can have your choice, says God. But, and praise the Lord for a and yet or a but in the middle of all of this, the prophet Isaiah tells us not only of the context of judgment and the perils of walking away from God, because there is a risk to that, friends, but also appearing to us as the voice from God's heart, which tells us a true picture. Here is what the prophet Isaiah says. That it is love that calls us by name. It is his love that calls us by name. The language begins by bringing us creation and form, and nobody knows a greater love than the one who put us together in the first place. It's the same love that knows your story of the past. We praise the Lord, it's the same God who knows Becky and Pip's story, that accepts the difficulty that has been there within them, and they'll tell us something of that later. That it's the same God who calls us by name, who knows where we stand, knows what we think, knows what we believe, knows who we are, and yet still calls us, still chooses us, still finds us amongst all of that stuff. It's still God who would want to call you forward by your name and choose you to participate in his story. The prophet continues, it is love that guards you. The language here is metaphoric, but it's probably based in the mythological challenges of the trial by water and fire. But those of us that know our Bible will be able to see and remember stories of God using water and flame to prove his love as a greater love than any other. In this case, it's much more about a truth of life that says that there is little that any of us can do about the trials that face us, but plenty that we can do about choosing God to walk us through the waters, to hold us firm through the fires. There is even a picture in the Bible of somebody being held alive and well, people being held alive and well in the midst of the fiery furnace. Some of us will know the story. But it's a love that guards us. It's a love that declares your worth. It says that even you, yes, even me, even we, full of our human condition, full of our faults, failures, full of the hurt that we disperse amongst our world, full of the hurt that we disperse amongst our friends and our family and even people we love, even we, as worthless as we might feel, and bear in mind that the greatest lie that you have ever been told is that you are worthless. And the worst thing is that a lot of us have believed it at times as well. Our God is prepared to pay a hefty price for us. And even here in the words of the prophet Isaiah is that there. For our well-being and for our good, God says, I choose you. I declare your worth. So do not doubt, dear friends, that you are anything but a treasure. It's a love, the prophet says, that gathers people in. I'm not sure I know how to stop a runaway train, but I do know that we have focused too much in the language of our media and in the language of popular culture on that which divides us. And yet still we see and read in Scripture that it is Jesus sat on his knees in John 17 praying that we might be one, that we might share those things. In this divided society, it is God who says in the middle of all things, I call you home. I call you to be part of this family which I have purchased, which I have looked after, which I have called from amongst the nations, which is the fulfillment of my promise. And remember that to a dispersed people, to a people that are exiled and on the edge of things, this was a great promise. This was a promise that said, you can come home. And friends, isn't that all we want to do? Don't we want to be at home and particularly in that place amongst God's presence? Wouldn't we want to experience together the gift of joy that is there as we arrive in that place? But in all of these ways of describing that love, we cannot help but see and understand further from the truth and life that is brought forth in Jesus. Because his love, too, is one that calls you by name and becomes about a personal relationship with him in the day-to-day as he nudges, guides, calls us. It's the love, it's his love that guards us. Unlike the judgment that the people of God received at the hands of great human powers, the promise of Jesus is if that we recognize our sin, the bad stuff we've done, that there is a lifeline open to us, that there is no end, that there is no final point. There is no point where you could be lost according to the stuff that you've done. And that reminder that there is one who has in that way declared your worth. More than that, Jesus gave his life for you as a ransom for that sin. And his love, even now, even right in this moment, interceding at the right hand of the Father, is one that says that they may be one, and that all of this is a result of a prayer that we might be reconciled, that we might come back to him because we were created to be in relationship with him, with Jesus. And life without him will always just miss the mark a little. So friends, we celebrate with these two this morning that they have trusted in Jesus. That's what it's all about. That their curiosity has turned to a love for him such that they might now wonder at the mystery of his love for them, but be secure in their love and faithfulness towards him. And perhaps returning to that picture that I had at the beginning, which I'm sure is about our need to allow the love of our God through all that we know and the love of his Son Jesus, and according to the presence of the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, just to overwhelm our narrowness, to overwhelm the limitations of our thinking and perhaps the power that our problems hold over us. That we would be overwhelmed for the sake of a love which does not, has not, will not, shall not ever let us go. And what a mystery that is, friends. That we might be loved just in that way. But what a truth, beloved, that we are loved just such in that way. Amen.